Welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Today, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more, for how gracious we will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And now we will have a sermon by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Amen. Let's give this young lady a hand. She did fantastic. It's nerve-wracking to be up here, especially for the first time. Thank you, Andrea. Isaiah 30, 19 through 21 is about God's promise of compassion and guidance to those who turn to Him. He offers us His reassurance that He will no longer hide Himself, but will lovingly teach and guide His people along the right path. I remember distinctly 30 years ago crying out for change. I wasn't even sure there was a God, and I knew nothing about this God. And I was quite sure that if there really was a God, He didn't want me. He didn't want anything to do with me. I came to God through the back door of recovery. I came in. The first three steps are about turning our life and our will over to Him. Coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And admitting that we are powerless over the things that we cannot control. I like to summarize those by, I can't, He can, I think I'm going to let Him. I remember offering that first feeble prayer up. They told me, just pray to God. Just talk to Him like you would to anyone else. And folks, my first idea was, all right, God, if you're real, I need your help. I need you to change me. I give you my life. You can't flub it up, except for I use different wording, any more than I did. And you know what? God honored that prayer. God honors the simplest of prayers. The most powerful prayer is, help me. Simple as that. And He does. Step in and help us. I remember at that point in time, I seriously felt like I could not do right. Have you ever had a time like that in your life where you just felt like no matter what you did, you couldn't do right? There was a song out by Tracy Chapman at the time. It said, at this point in my life, and as I read the first verse and the chorus, I want you to keep in mind, I know today that my God loves me no matter what. But I didn't know it then. And the enemy loves to whisper in our ear that we are not good enough. The enemy loves to remind us of all the bad that we have ever done and tell us, you can't serve God. Do you remember when you did this, this, and this? When we confess our sins to our good and holy God, He washes us whiter than snow. It says, I've done so many things wrong. I don't know if I can do right. If you put your trust in me, I hope I won't let you down. If you give me a chance, I will try. You see, it's been a hard road, the road I'm traveling on. And if I take your hand, I might lead you down the path of ruin. I've had a hard life. I'm just saying that so you will understand that right now I'm doing the best I can. Not only did I feel so bad and dirty that if there really was a God, it didn't want anything to do with me. I felt like anybody that I came in contact with, I would lead them down the wrong road. I would jinx them. I would ruin them. As a matter of fact, 6 months clean and sober, I drove my kids over to a friend's house. I came home and I took every pill in the house. And my God has always spoken powerfully to me. He woke me up. 45 minutes later, He said, get up and get rid of that. Throw it up. They all came up whole. 45 minutes on an empty stomach, that's a miracle. Time and time again in my life, my God has done miracles. Do you believe that our God still does miracles today? We just have to look for those miracles. We just have to believe that He will do it. Have you ever believed that no matter what you did or how hard you tried, you just couldn't get it right? The Apostle Paul totally understood that. Romans 7:15 through 20 says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. God's word is good. As it is, it is no longer myself who does it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that no good dwells in me. That is, the sinful nature lives in me. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I do the evil that I desperately do not want to do. This I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is a sin living in me. The Apostle Paul gets it. He knows our sinful nature. He knows that since the Garden of Eden, we were all born with an inclination towards sin, that we will have to wrestle with our flesh for the rest of our lives. But here's the good news, beloved. Our God does indeed change us from the inside out. He works on us. In recovery, the sixth step says, remove from me all the defects of character. Anybody who's ever been in a meeting with me knows I always say, please. He does not remove the glaring ones that we want Him to take right away, or the ones that cripple us, major anxiety that keeps us up all night, that makes us afraid of talking in front of people. He does not remove the things that we want Him to remove. He removes the things that make us more useful to Him. And He's been working on me for a long time, folks. A long time. I can remember I had a single parenting class pay for one class at Indiana Wesleyan. It was health and well-being. I was a lot thinner at the time. I thought, PE, I can probably handle that. I came walking out of there one day. I physically could not walk to my van. And I was on my lunch hour. I had to get back. I had started this prayer thing that they were telling me about. And I was praying about some stupid relationship. And I heard God tell me, don't put anything on the outcome. And He dropped me to my knees. I didn't ask Him in my heart. He knew the condition of my heart. And He entered and I cried for 3 days straight. The first person I saw told me the story of the woman at the well. You know, you've had five husbands and the guy you're living with now, he's not even your husband. And what did she do? She ran into town and told everybody, come see the man who told me everything about me. We have to remember that this woman was a Samaritan, a half-breed, hated and detested by the Jews. Yet our Lord Jesus gave her peace and comfort and offered her living water. And anytime we honestly, with all our hearts, cry out to Him, He begins a mighty work of change in each and every one of us. We can't get by with saying, well, it's a sin that lives in me. The Apostle Paul said so. It's no longer me. It's a sin that lives in me. We have to take responsibility for our actions. God forgives us. He washes us whiter than snow. But until we take responsibility for those actions, we hold it against ourselves. We walk around in shame in front of other people. God wants us to be whole and happy with Him and with all of the people who surround us. We have to make the decision now, today, that we're going to live a changed life. We can't wait till somebody's offering us drugs and alcohol. We can't wait until the thought crops up, I'm going to steal this. We can't wait until somebody starts coming on to us and we have the desire to cheat on our spouse. Today, we make the decision to let the Lord God take our lives, shape and mold our hearts. He is the potter. We are the clay. He will indeed change us. And even though Paul says, if he continues to do what he does not want to do, that it is a sin nature living in him. When we make that decision and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, and we ask Him sincerely, whether it's help me, whether we don't believe He's real, no matter what it is, He does indeed help us to daily turn our life over to Him, to succumb, to not live in the flesh, to not do the things we don't want to do, to admit them and ask for forgiveness when we do, and to go on and live changed lives that witness to other people. Our good and gracious God is still a miracle worker today. Have you ever felt His power? Have you witnessed one of His miracles? I know I have. I have talked to a lot of you, and I know that you have as well. In this day and age, there is so much chaos, there is so much pain, that we forget that our God still does miracles. We become hard of heart. There are so many people in need. There are so many people who are hurting that we start thinking, I can't do it. I can't help everybody. We don't have to. Just the ones God directly brings into our path. I don't know about you, but I go through seasons of change. And God often makes me go through something before I preach a sermon. I was worried about preaching this one. I worry about exposing too much of my past in front of y'all. Yesterday I woke up feeling terrible. I've had extreme dizziness. My face was all puffy and swollen up. Nothing was going right. By evening, I'm texting people, please pray for me. Pray for my message tomorrow. Most of all, will you please pray that the Lord will change my attitude? Lo and behold, he did. I started bawling and crying because one person called me back and started praying over me. And he changed my attitude. I'll never forget, my sponsor 7 years ago brought me this little sign. It says, "Oh Lord, change me." And on the back of it is our scripture. There's several up here on the altar. When our song of response comes, you're welcome to come up here and take one. You're welcome to come up here and pray. You're welcome to slip up here after the service and take one. And I have more. Put it somewhere where you will see it. I love a person who will tell me the truth about myself, not what they think I want to hear. I called her up one day, 7 years ago, telling her how I had been praying all morning for my husband, that God would change him. She listened patiently. Then she got in her car and drove over and gave me this. And she began talking to me. She told me about a book from Evelyn Whitehead. And this book taught her that we pray for God to change us. Not our spouse, not our children, not our boss, not our friend, not our church, not our pastor. Change me. That's the only person that we have the power to change. We will spin and spin and spin. We will go through agonizing pain trying to change one of our children, trying to change our spouse. That's not what God wants of us. He wants us to look inside of ourselves, to ask him, what's the lesson in this? Whatever's going on might be extremely unfair. But when we ask him, what can I learn from this? Help me, change me. He takes that tiny little prayer and he does it. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Lord, change me. The book that she gave me shortly after giving me this little sign outlines 7 methods of real inside-out change, as well as ways to check to be sure it is God who's doing the changing. And woven throughout Evelyn's wonderfully transparent accounts of how God taught her and loved her is one of these nuggets of truth. He never promised us a rose garden. How many of you thought that when you came to Christ Jesus, your life was going to be wonderful? I did think it. I'm sorry. I thought, you know, I watched all you from the outside. Church people, they got it all together, right? They go in, they're all dressed up, they're smiling, it's all good. Not so much. Not so much. It's a difficult thing to change. We will always have tribulations. He didn't promise us a rose garden. As a matter of fact, he promised us that we will have trials and tribulations and trouble in this world. But in John 16:33, he said, "Have no fear, for I have overcome the world." And if he's overcome it and he takes our hand, we can overcome any situation bit by bit. Our Lord does indeed strengthen us and change us. There's always going to be snotty co-workers. There's always going to be liars and false accusations. There's always going to be somebody judging and criticizing us and making up stories. Can we change that? Can we? No, we can't. And when we get caught up in it and we let it eat us, it moves us further away from the peace of God. When we learn to say, "God will defend me," Exodus 14:14 tells us that our God will fight for us. All we need to do is be still and trust him and let him fight for us. Reflect on this verse and ask yourself, have there been moments in your life that you have been lost, overwhelmed, at the point of giving up? I still have them, and I swear, sometimes before I preach, he makes me go through whatever is in the message before I can preach it to someone else. I can only imagine Ezekiel. Ezekiel had to act out everything God was telling him. Throughout the Old Testament, we see where God compares us to a wayward spouse. But yet, he stays with us. He loves us and moves us through. The prophet's words of promise resonate hope and comfort and divine guidance to the faithful people of Zion. You know the song, "The Goodness of God"? I love that song. He is always faithful. People who know my entire story look at me and say, "How can you love that song so much?" Because he has always been good. He has always given me mercy. Our God takes and changes the directions of our lives. The relevance of this passage in contemporary times is profound. In the midst of life's complexities and challenges, the promises of God's immediate response to us are sure. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the age." And he gives us so many opportunities and methods to change, to know what his will is. I'm a person that when I see it, it sticks in my mind. One of the ways that he helps us to know his will is through a great big word called the quadrilateral. Can you say that word? How about stool? Can you say stool? To me, one of my professors likened this method of discernment to a three-legged stool. Solid scripture is the solid seat. Our God will never go against scripture. Everything we deal with in life is not always outlined step by step in the Word. That's when we turn to God's character. That's when we turn to Scripture. You know, these women who come up to me and say, "God gave me the most precious, wonderful man. He brings me flowers. He takes me on vacation. He finishes my sentences. And he says he's going to leave his wife soon." Okay, God does not contradict Scripture. So we know that is not God's will. And then, beloved, he gives us more. The first leg of the stool is reason, intelligence, a brain, a mind. He gave us that to help discern what his will is. It is a marvelous, wonderful gift. Some people who are highly intelligent struggle with faith. It is harder for them to have faith. But if their heart turns towards God, he will help them. The next leg of the stool is tradition. Church tradition, going clear back to the early mothers and fathers of the Old Testament. Those traditions will help us to see how God worked in that time and how he's working in our lives. And the last one is experience. Our own experience is undeniably, wave at them, it's okay. We want them to interact. Our own experience of how God speaks to us is powerful. Or the experience of wise counsel, someone else who's been there. My God has spoke to me through dreams that have come true. He speaks to me through a still, small, silent voice. He speaks to me through someone else's words. And he's asked me to do some incredible things. I hear forgiveness over and over again in my head. And he tells me to drive out to Converse and to pray with somebody about forgiveness. And I'm like, oh, no, not doing it, not happening. Nope, he doesn't believe in you. He doesn't like me right now. And he certainly doesn't want to talk about forgiveness. I got out there and had left his wife of 27 years who gave him 4 children for his sister-in-law. God just started talking through me. I have no idea what I said. Next thing I know, he went in the other room and he called his ex-wife and asked her forgiveness. They both cried. He came out and hugged me. To this day, I believe that man went to heaven. You know, you all hear the story about God telling you to stop and pick up a gallon of milk and bring it to somebody. I've had experiences like that over and over again. At one point, he told me to give somebody $100. And it wasn't because I was a single mom raising 4 kids that I didn't give it to them. I didn't give it to them because both sets of parents had money. And I thought they would take care of it. Both sets of parents were out of town. This woman had cancer. It had moved up into her brain. She was out of the medication that stopped seizures. As her husband was wheeling her across the street in a wheelchair, she fell out of the wheelchair onto the cement and had a seizure and really hurt herself. Guess how much that medicine cost? When God tells me to do something now, I'm doing it. I don't care how foolish it is. I don't care if somebody thinks I'm crazy. They thought Noah was crazy until it started raining. It happens. We can hear God's direction in our life in this passage. We hear him directing us. We can cultivate a deep relationship with Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing you'll ever do. Beloved, you can memorize the Word of God and still not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I hate to tell you this, but if you don't have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus, you're not going to heaven. You need to have that one-on-one relationship with Jesus, that heartfelt relationship. I don't care if you've never opened the Bible in your life. I don't care if somebody browbeat you and taught you about turn and burn and here's that scripture and you're doing everything wrong. What I care about is, do you have a relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust him? Will you take his hand to get you through the worst pain of your life? That is the application to going to heaven. Y'all know that I'm a life applicable preacher. I'm going to tell you what the scripture is. I'm going to unpack it a little bit. Then I'm going to spend the rest of the sermon telling you how to live it out. That's just who I am. Mark is an amazing teaching pastor. I have friends that are historical preaching pastors. They preach all the history, and they do it so good that it makes it come alive. Here's the life application. In the hustle of life, let us find solace, peace, and comfort in God's promise to never abandon us. He lights our path, but He doesn't give us light from here to the stairs. He gives us just enough light to take a step. And we have to have faith. Before that Red Sea parted, that staff went down and that foot went into the water. Then the waters parted. You have to have faith and trust and relationship with Him. In both our trials and our triumphs, as we navigate the maze of modern existence, let us lean on the wisdom of the Lord found in the Bible, found in the people around us, found in that still small voice, found in however He talks to you. And let us say, hem me in, God. Don't let me mess up, God. Don't let me turn to the right or to the left without You. Hem me in. Prepare me to be who You want me to be. Our song of response is prepare me to be a sanctuary. And all it takes to be that sanctuary is an open heart that Jesus Christ can live in. And like I said, you're welcome to come up here, pray, and take some time. You're welcome to just come up here and get one of the little cards as a reminder, hang it on your refrigerator. Or you can wait till the end of the service and sneak up here and get one. It's all good. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it."